You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards, and here you are listening to Radio Live. All right. As usual, this show is brought to you as a production of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And we've been here since January of 2005. If you want to learn more about the Defenders, please visit us at www.defendersfje.org. And if you want to give us an email shout out, then it is defendersfje@hotmail.com. And finally, if you want to just go ahead and give us a call, it is 804-644-5834. Well, today is Monday, November 22nd, and for some reason it feels like it's already Thanksgiving. I think it's just something about that date that I just link to the day when it's time to start eating turkey and stuffing and sweet potatoes and gravy and green beans and greens and hot water cornbread and sweet potato pie, and I can go on and on. And, you know, if you all were tuning in a couple of years ago, I did a show where I talked about being in the backyard of my grand uncle's house, where they had turned a refrigerator freezer into the barbecue, into the smoker, and boy, every time I think about that, I can see the smoked meat, and it was really good. And so, all you vegetarians and vegans out there, I'm sorry, but only a little. These are really, really good memories for me, and I know for a lot of people, the eating part and the gathering part of Thanksgiving is really important and really powerful, and I hope that you enjoy that aspect of it and remember with respect all those for whom this holiday means something else. And I make so bold as to reference that because last week they rebroadcast that particular show from 2009, and it was good listening, good remembering. So I'm glad that we were able to do that last week for you. All right, today I'm very pleased to bring a very recent event into the studio and to you. Last Thursday, if you were tuned into WTVR, or if you happen to be a student on VCU's campus and hanging out the commons, there was a very dynamic protest that was conceived of and led by VCU students, specifically to support the reclamation of Richmond's African burial ground. And I'm really excited that today we were able to bring in two of the students who were involved in that demonstration. One is Aimee Tudor, and she is a soon-to-be graduating senior at VCU. And I'm going to let you introduce. I'm going to let you say hello, and then I'm going to let you introduce your colleague in the struggle. And but I'd like to say welcome to you both.
Thank you. Well, then let me just first introduce Janice Desmongles, right? Okay. I wasn't sure. We didn't really talk about last names when we met up. We had other things to discuss.
That's right.
But, yeah, she was very influential in creating enthusiasm amongst the other students who were at first unaware of what we were getting ready to do. So she literally just jumped right on board. So.
Oh, that's excellent. So why don't you give folks a background? You know, people know when they tune into this show, they know that I'm the chair of the Sacred Ground Historical Reclamation Project. So if they've been regular listeners, then they're aware of the dynamics of the struggle to reclaim the burial ground. But you all came into this scene sort of with some, because of some particular inspiration. And I think the way that you were recounted the story of what you guys did at yesterday's meeting, I think it's probably a good way to sort of start our listeners off.
Absolutely. Mr. Dick Gregory came to speak at VCU, and I, along with some of my friends, went to listen to him. The whole day I had been wondering, if I get an opportunity to ask Mr. Dick Gregory one question, what would it be? What would it be? What would I ask him? And he answered it without me actually having to ask him, and that was, well, what do we do? As an elder, tell us, the young folks, what's our very next step? Give us something tangible to work with. And he said, and I'm pretty quoting here. He said, when y'all get serious about the burial ground, let me know. And so to me, that just, it vibrated in my heart. And I was like, okay, well, that's my answer. So we then went to a Defenders meeting. It was me, Stephanie Reese, and Velma Hairston. We attended a Defenders meeting, and they schooled us kind of on everything that had been going on with the burial ground. And prior to that, I had watched Meet Me in the Bottom for the first time through a new lens, through a lens of, with this information, what can I do instead of simply just watching it to watch it? And I got very passionate about it, so we went to the Defenders meeting. And in my head, I had seen this kind of idea where people lie down, literally lie down at the parking lot and prevent cars from parking. So when we kicked that idea, they told us that demonstrations had happened at the parking lot, and they were sometimes easily shut down. The police come and just move you right off the parking lot, and it doesn't get that much attention. Well, I was like, okay, that's fine. So we can still do it at VCU. And so right then I happened to be having a meeting with Donald Hawkins and Chazity Jones to talk about the restoration of Africana, which is an organization supported by the AFAM department at VCU. Well, they happened to catch me in a very passionate day where I had been researching a lot of things, looking at pictures of lynchings, which helps one to keep their focus and reminds one of like the history that we live in. So we spoke, and I happened to just tell them what was in my head. They thought it was a great idea, jumped on board. Before you knew it, we gathered up as many students that we would think would be down for this kind of work, this kind of civil disobedient act. Mm. And we held an emergency meeting at the AFAM department in the basement. So it's very organic the way that we did it. And no older adults, no organizations, no professors. It's completely student thought of, student led, student run, student supported, student funded, all of that. So that meeting, they walked in. There was a picture of a lynching that we had up. Also that morning in driving into campus, we heard of the news of Oscar Grant, who was murdered January 1st, 2009 in Oakland, California. We were aware that over 100 people were arrested for rioting and protesting because of the sentence that the police officer had received. And we felt that that was very important to bring up, too. We might as well go ahead and link these two issues because they're extremely relevant. So we had people come in, and we had a very candid discussion about that if change is going to happen, it will be because of us. And we're very clear about the role that we play because of our privilege and because of our opportunity, our access to resources, the time that we have, that we understand that it's up to us. So we showed the film or the clips on YouTube of the murder of Oscar Grant, along with the picture of the lynching in our candid discussion. And we spit the idea of the civil disobedience and lying down on campus. Well, Janice was one of the very first people who said, I am down no matter what. I've been waiting for this opportunity. So she opened up the doorway for students to think of the possibilities of and to loosen any kind of mental restrictions we may have had. So by the end of the meeting, the whole room was willing and ready and open and definitely energized. So after that, we had two more meetings to show the film Meet Me in the Bottom. We showed and we knew that the same days we were going to finish all of the things that we could. So we developed our flyers, got our posters together, watched a documentary together, and we actually had a blast. It was a lot of fun. And we did all of that work within those 2 days. So by Tuesday night, everything was done. So then we all kind of set in knowing throughout Wednesday what was going to happen. And Thursday at 1 o'clock, we were ready. And so we met up, and completely still no one at the AFAM department knew. Dr. Utsi didn't know. Dr. Nassim didn't know. Dr. Jeffries didn't know. No one knew. So just imagine the African-American Studies department at VCU has never experienced that many students there, not even for a class, because classes that are held there aren't even as large as the amount of people that showed up and showed out on Thursday, all dressed in black, ready to be silent. It's tremendously powerful because everyone was on the same page that the way that we want to get this across is peacefully and using our silence, with the exception of those who are actually handing out flyers, answering questions, talking to folks, to make such a very powerful stance. Also, I have to say that everything was completely completely horizontal and democratic. My role, since I'm the one speaking, is facilitator and somewhat organizer. So I gather people's ideas and then help redistribute them and vote on which ones will work. And then everyone had the opportunity to share their ideas, their thoughts, their voices, any concerns. And people did ask questions. I mean, students are really great at asking those questions, but we all understood that this is everyone's opportunity to be involved. This is not someone's personal cause or this only affects someone, but that we took this on knowing that it's up to us to go ahead and do that. That's that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm glad that you could tell all that in one breath. We're going to go for a break in just about a minute, but first I'd like to ask Janice to sort of weigh in. You know, what got you, what made you want to, you know, jump right in so quickly and be ready for this?
Absolutely. I'm an African-American studies major. I had recently been aware of the issue when Dr. Yusi brought it to my attention in one of my African-American studies classes. I received a text message from Donald Hawkins saying that there were some issues in the Black community that needed to be addressed. I'm always down for wanting to help the community in any way that I can. So when I got this text message, I was very intrigued. And of course, I asked, well, what is it about? What is it about? And he said, I can't tell you, you just have to come. And so that became a stir among students. We were all intrigued. We wanted to know, what is this meeting about? And no one would tell us. And so, of course, you had to go to find out what it was going to be about. And so we got there, and Ame was speaking, and she was very passionate. I was very moved by her words, her passion. And she showed the video of the murder of Oscar Grant. And right in that moment, once the gun went off, my heart dropped to my feet. Something resonated inside of me. Something told me I had to do something. Right before the meeting occurred, I was in one of my African-American studies classes, and we were watching a video on Vernon Jones. And I tweeted, you know, what is my call? What is my purpose? I know what I'm meant to do in life, but how can I reach the masses? You know, and being at this meeting, it really helped me understand what my purpose was. And Ame said, if you all are here, this is all fate. It's chance. We're all here by meeting. And so I was very excited. And once she said, you know, we're just going to lie down. We're going to do a silent demonstration. I thought it was a brilliant idea. And I was ready to be arrested if that was the case. You know, this is something I believe in. Had it not been for my ancestors before me who fought for me, who died for me, who endured the whippings on their back, there would be no place for me to be doing this right now. So I really, really had a great time doing it.
It's this concept I'm starting to hear is a little bit about what it is that flips your switch and makes you move forward. We're going to take a little break so that we can do a little station identification, and I want to come back and talk a little bit more about that, flipping your switch. You are listening to The Defenders live here on WRIR 97.3 Low Power FM Radio. It is Richmond's radio for the rest of us, and we are very pleased that you join us every week, Monday at noon. You can also listen online at www.wrir.org. You can stream it live. You can also check out the podcasts of back shows at radioforall.net. That's radio, the number 4ALL.net. Defenders Live has been coming to you since 2005, and we are back. All right, I am here today with two students, VCU students, who were involved in the Thursday, November 18th, silent die-in, as it's being referred to by some folks, in support of the African burial ground, in particular because of the role that VCU plays in being an owner of the site and the navigation and struggle that's gone on in order to reclaim that site since it's been known to concretely the evidence has been there ever since the historical marker was placed there in 2004. and the Department of Historic Resources has had that information to provide for people and basically affirmed that information. So it isn't like all the players who were involved at this point didn't have at least some idea that this site might have some significance to people and that it might need to be something other than a parking lot. So one of the things I'll just sort of interject into the conversation is that what's really beautiful about this is that each of us who has been involved in one way or another has picked up the ball from the people before or people who were still doing things along the way. And each has, especially those who I think who have been more thoughtful, have really sort of sought to figure out what their roles are involved in it, have synthesized the best way for them to move that struggle forward. And as the defenders in the Sacred Ground Project, you know, especially as we get older, since we're going to talk about age, keeps coming up, is that, you know, the older folks are always looking to who in the next generation is going to be sort of picking up the banner, who's going to be moving it forward when, you know, when my time is done, or who's going to pick it up and change the dynamic and see it with new eyes. And it's so one of the things that we have always hoped, and in part because we know historically that students tend to be a concentrated body of people who have the ability and, as you referenced, the privilege of being in an environment that allows you to assess and analyze these dynamics and then see a vision and mobilize to carry it forward. And we talk a lot about the complacency that exists, you know, sort of in communities at large. And I'm not going to just lay it on the Black community, saying the Black community is complacent and doesn't do anything anymore since the Civil Rights Movement. I don't think that's fair or even really valid. But if you wanted to label it that way, then you'll see it across communities as people are approaching a point of no return with engaging a struggle. And I think one of the things that you talked about in the preceding section was the need to show photographs of lynchings in order to reground you, to show the film of Oscar Grant to fire you up, to have the film, the Meet Me in the Bottom film, to sort of lay out, you know, what that struggle has been up to this point and to feel the call to action at the end of that. And I think these are all really important components because people worry. I think there's a lot of fear involved in putting yourself out in a struggle and being very public. And yet you find these pivotal things, these either events or moments or images or words that trigger something. And both of you have described, you know, you had several trigger points and you're both reaching certain points in what you're doing, that these trigger points have real meaning. I think, you know, as you say, I don't know how close to graduation you are, but y'all are getting ready to leave school and yeah. Leave this precious, rare environment that allows you to do these things. So, you know, I want you to talk just talk a little bit about what you think this means for you moving forward, and then we'll bring it back and talk sort of more practically about what this is going to mean in the next couple of weeks and days and months moving forward. So let's go with you, okay. Janice. Why don't you start and talk about?
For me, this is the very beginning, absolutely. Just because the protest is over does not mean that our, you know, the goal is over, the mission is over. We still have a lot to do. We still have to move forward. And Ame recently sent out another two emails, you know, stating that we have more action to do. This isn't the end. And I absolutely agree with her as far as that. I think for me personally, I envision myself often, where will I be 5 years from now? Where will this world be 5 years from now? It's constantly changing and evolving and transforming. And I'm becoming more and more aware of who I am and my place in my community, my place in this world and in this life. I think as an African-American woman, I'm becoming more aware that I'm an African-American woman as I'm transcending to look for jobs, knowing the difference between myself and, you know, someone else. For me, being there on Thursday, it really meant a lot. It's indescribable. I cannot put it in words. We walked over from the African-American Studies buildings. We walked in pairs. We were all dressed in black. Of course, the moment we walked out of the building, we made a statement. People noticed us. They read our signs. We could see it on their faces. What's going on? What are they doing? As we were walking over to the library, I saw a police officer in the car, and we exchanged a look, and I squeezed my friend's hand as to tell her, "Are you ready? Because we don't know how this is going to end." You know, and so we walked over to the compass. We did a libation, which is to honor the ancestors, to honor the children, to honor our generations. Each of us, we held hands in a circle. We shouted out the names of those we wanted to honor. I personally yelled out my father's name, Alex the Smangles. I remember being little and him telling me stories about how white people used to spit on him as he would walk to school, about how people used to let dogs out on him. And I remember all of the advice he would give me. I was 8 years old, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand the battle that he was trying to get me ready for until I got older, until I saw what he was trying to tell me. And so being there in the compass, laying down on the ground, staring up at the sky, my mind wandered into a far place. It wandered. I just thought about the lynchings, Oscar Grant. I thought about the people who died for me, the people who fought for me to have this right to lay here. And I thought to myself, what more can I do? What more can I do? Because when we're taught about slavery in middle school, we're taught about slavery in elementary school, we know that we were slaves, but they don't show pictures of lynchings. They don't talk about the people that were murdered. We learn about Martin Luther King and you know, the polite civil rights movement. We don't learn about the riots and the things that went on and the murders and the police brutality. So this is the very, very beginning for me.
Great. I think James Baldwin said it best when he said the civil rights movement was not a movement, but an insurrection. And that is how I look at it. And I've made a very clear choice that to walk around numb, to walk around robotic, to live a mundane life, one where I enjoy my tiny amount of privilege and opportunity without using that tiny bit of privilege and opportunity to do something that will ensure the future for generations to come. Because people are still having children. And so in order, the world that I want to see will have to be up to me, and I'm clear about it. So when I'm posed with the question of what do I do next, my answer is follow my heart, because that is really what led me to work towards having Thursday be what it was. It wasn't something I had thought about for months and months and planned for months and months. My heart literally said no. That is unacceptable, and I don't care what I have to do, but I will make sure that at least, if nothing else, people know I think it's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And so I'm truly humbled because I've been able to see what it means for communication and horizontal participation, what it means when there's an idea, but everyone's contribution to it matters. And what it means to transform something that was powerful just in my heart and in my mind, but with so much energy added from different ways of life, different people, different thoughts, different spaces, that something tremendously life-changing occurred on Thursday for anybody who participated in it, and especially for me. And so one of the things that's continuously coming up, even with our private meetings that we were having to work for Thursday, is we must begin to have a conversation about race in this country. That we must begin to have an open dialogue about race. And that it is inappropriate to assume that only certain pockets of people should talk about race. And it's very evident and clear that it is something that is still very important today. Mm-hmm. And so those are my steps, is that if no one else will, I will have the conversation about race. Mm-hmm. And I'll be authentic about it. And we need to begin thinking about what we want to do about our world. Because there's only a small percentage of us who are able to spend time researching, Googling, talking, conversing, going to forums, reading the newspaper, reading books, challenging our minds. But that we're only a small percentage of the population of people. So when you put yourself in a perspective and who you are in a world where people don't have access to even clean water, shelter, food, protection, women are being raped in the Congo, Darfur, there was Bosnia, there's war, there's money, credit, loans. Like, these are the questions that we are going to have to answer. And, you know, there's this, I don't know what it was. I'm sure older people know, but like this video clip on YouTube and this man is saying, and even Erykah Badu sampled it in her album. She says, you know, I'm a human being. My life has value and meaning. And that's how I feel. So everything from Thursday forward and even, you know, a couple weeks before Thursday, I'm committed to living my life that way.
Right. I'm not gonna add any commentary to that to either one of you because you both expressed some very powerful points of view and some very powerful positioning for moving forward, and the show is going to end, which it always does when things start to get deep, and we are I want to remind people that there is a lot going on around this struggle and ways to be in touch with you all. Around this struggle. So if you could quickly give me an email or a, you know, way to contact people, for them to contact you.
Even though the students that participated on Thursday were not an organization, we do have an email. we do. And it's freemindsrva@gmail.com. freemindsrva@gmail.com.
Love to
please
email.
Send us emails, ideas, thoughts, concerns. We're willing to come to you to show the documentary. We're willing to we're open for discussion and conversation. So freemindsrva@gmail.com.
That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. Be sure to check out the defendersfje.blogspot.com for video coverage of the demonstration if you didn't get to see it. For more information about upcoming meetings and the flyering activities that are going on around the burial ground every week. This week they're on Wednesday. And I just really want to say thank you to both of you for coming in today and so beautifully articulating where this came from and where you're headed.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. And we will be back with you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Defenders Live. This is your host, Anna Edwards. Remember to keep up the struggle and that kindness matters. It is a strong tool and you should use it. Thanks.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now. It's over.